I was thinking about there was a comment, I think, on the news or something. My wife may have been sharing with me about they were saying that there was another strain of the virus that is surfacing in another country. And I thought about the concept of many sins and then only one cure, which is Jesus. And we're going to be looking at Luke chapter number 7, starting at verse number 47, to see what Jesus says to us in the word concerning this. Now, starting at verse number 41, that's really the storyline, starts at 41. It says, "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Verse number 43, "Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged." Verse number 44, "And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, See thou this woman. I entered into thine house, and thou gave me no water for my feet." Now remember, feet washing was a sign of humility as well as hospitality. When a person entered into their home, to welcome that person, the person would have their feet washed. And Jesus said unto them, even though he came into Simon's home, he said, "Simon, when I came in," he said, "you did not, no one was there to wash my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet." Verse 46, "My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are what? Forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven." Now, looking at the text, you see in verse number 47, Jesus identifies a problem that really most people struggle with when they're trying to especially come over into holiness. The enemy boggles the minds down with them when they think about all of the wrong things that they have done, the wrong things that they may have done or that they are still doing. And he makes it feel like being saved is impossible. But you see with this woman, Jesus described her as having what? Many sins, right? Verse number 47, it says, "Wherefore I say unto you, unto thee, her sins, which are many." So Jesus knew her condition, regardless of, you know, how impossible it seemed for her to overcome it. But you notice what with her, regardless of, you know, her shortcomings, she still presented herself to Jesus just as she was. And you notice there, the one was able to overcome the many. Jesus being the what? The one was able to overcome the many. And we have to realize that's the very same thing with even in our own lives. That Jesus is enough to deal with all of our shortcomings. Jesus is enough to deal with all of our errors. If we let him cure us, if we let him heal us, if we let him deliver us. Acts 4 and 12, very famous scripture, says there's what? No salvation. Neither is there salvation in what? Any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we what? Jesus is that one cure for the many sins. Jesus is the one cure for the many sins. Let's look at those three scriptures that we have highlighted. Somebody get Isaiah 1:18. Someone else get Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. I only have 7 on there, but I want you to get 6 and 7. And then we're going to get Micah chapter number 7, 18 through 19. All right. Isaiah 1:18. That's it. That's the key. When you have many sins, you have to just come regardless. You can't let the things, your errors hang you up or hold you back. She could have very well said, I can't come because of what? My many sins. But she did not let that stop her from getting to Jesus. And it looks like she got a blessing when she did that, because the scripture says that he told her, your sins are forgiven you. Now, even though Simon was the homeowner, the one that whose home that he was in, Jesus highlighted how limited people can be when they invite Jesus into their house. Simon invited Jesus in, and how limited people can, you know, their feelings or their approach to Jesus is. Jesus, he stopped just at the simple invitation, but the woman came in uninvited. Uninvited, yet she showed Jesus the most appreciation. The uninvited guest showed Jesus the most appreciation. And not to Simon did he say, your sins are forgiven. Even though Simon's house was the one that Jesus was in, but he said it to the uninvited guest. All because of the way that she treated Jesus. She treated Jesus with much love, right? He said, this woman had not stopped since I got here. No matter what I was saying, what I was doing, even in the midst of Jesus' lesson, she was still showing Jesus that she loved him. And that's the same way I think we ought to approach the Lord ourselves. No matter what we are engaged in, we ought to have it in our minds that we love Jesus. And we ought not to take our minds off of loving Jesus. Even in the midst of praise, even in the midst of learning, you should still have it embedded in your mind that you love Jesus. Why? Because it's a blessing. There's a blessing in coming before the Lord that way. There's a blessing with coming before Jesus with the right attitude. No matter what you are engaged in, if you're cleaning the church, if you're washing windows, you ought to be doing it with the attitude that I love Jesus. No matter what, no matter what. And the Lord will bless you for that. You notice what that woman, the woman got a good blessing. Because even though her sins were many, Jesus says they're forgiven. Right? Now, Simon went to bed with sin still on his mind. But that woman, she went to bed knowing that Jesus forgave her sins. Right? And at the end of the day, who's the judge? Jesus. Jesus is the judge, so I'd much rather Jesus forgive me than anybody else, right? Even though many people probably looked down on her and said that she was doing things out of order, but Jesus realized everything was in order. Why? Because she was moving out of love, right? That's the truth. You let love move you, the Lord will look beyond all of your faults. He'll look beyond all of your shortcomings, and he will have mercy on you. That's the only reason you come to the church for anyway. You come to church because you want the Lord to have mercy on you. You want the Lord to be compassionate to you. And the writer is telling you, when you come, come now, right? Come now and let us do what? Reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as what? Scarlet. There shall be what? That's right. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But you've got to do your part. As the writer told you, you've got to do that simple four-letter word, come. That's what that woman did. Again, the uninvited guest. What did she do? She came. No matter whether she had the invitation or not, she had it fixed in her mind that she just wanted to get to Jesus. And when she wanted to get to Jesus, she didn't want to get there and just listen, but she wanted to show Jesus how she felt about him. Right? That's right. No matter what is going on in your life, you get in here and you show Jesus what he means to you. Show the Lord that you love him. Love is an action word. You just can't talk it. Notice this woman did not open up her mouth. She didn't say, Lord, do this for me. Lord, do that for me. Lord, I'm sorry for all of this stuff. But she sure showed Jesus. She showed him by her actions that she really was serious about loving him. And as a result, the Lord says, your sins are forgiven. It is though her heart was talking to Jesus while her mouth was shut. Right? That's the truth. So many of us, we got that thing reversed. We open up our mouths and our heart is not in it. But you notice this woman's mouth was shut, but her heart was in it, right? How do you know her heart was in it? Because she was crying at the feet of Jesus. It is though Jesus could understand what was going on the inside of her. That's all I'm trying to get you to do is when you come down here for prayer, stop opening up your mouth so quick and don't let your heart be in it. Make sure your heart lines up what's coming out of your mouth. You're calling the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is salvation. And your heart got to be in tune with what's coming out your mouth. What do you want from the Lord? What do you want Jesus to do for you? What do you want to share with Jesus concerning the issues of your life? And realizing that he's the only one that can cure you. He's the only one that can deliver you. Your cry will be so much different. His name will mean so much more when you realize, when your heart is in it. Right? That's true. That lady's heart was in it. How you know scripture says she washed the Lord's feet with her tears. That wasn't just one tear. She had to be really crying, really sobbing. But she did not stop. She did not stop. She took her glory. The woman's hair is her glory. That's her honor. That's why she let it grow. That's why she lets that hair grow. Now, we don't do that in our society, but, you know, I'm just trying to give you what the scriptures say. The woman's hair is her glory. The woman's hair is the thing that allows, it's like a man wearing a crown on his head. The woman's crown is her hair. And she would let that hair grow and grow and grow, but she took that which was labeled as glorious and wiped the feet of Jesus with it. That's an attitude that we all have to have. The very thing that we think that we are. Lord, I'm nothing without you. And not only did she do that, she anointed his feet. Now, ointment was an expensive spice, but she took that which was valuable and anointed the lowest part of God's body, which was his feet, right? And the scripture says she did not stop doing it. The whole time while Jesus was there. Remember, Jesus was in the midst of a lesson. He was teaching about two debtors. One had more and one had a little. But the scripture said the one that they owed it to forgave them. Right? And they were in the midst of dialoguing with Jesus. To whom was greater, had the greater appreciation for the debt being given. In the midst of that lesson, this woman was engaged with showing Jesus just how much she loved him. Right? I don't care how busy you are in life. Don't you get out of the place of showing Jesus how much you love and appreciate him, right? That's the truth. Even when you own your job, show Jesus you love him. When you're at home, washing dishes, cleaning, show the Lord that you love him. Let it be done with an attitude of love. Jesus, I love you for allowing me to do the job that I'm doing. You the one gave me the activities of my limbs. You were the one that showed mercy on me. Out of all these people, I'm not in no unemployment line. I'm not out here with my hand stuck out asking for help. I'm not digging in trash cans. Huh? But the Lord, you bless me with the activities of my limbs. Huh? What little bit you make, you appreciate. Let the Lord know I appreciate it. I honor you, Jesus, for giving me what I have, right? That's the truth. You were merciful unto me. That's the truth. You're able to go and back and forward. You may be tired. Your body may be sore. But some people can't move. Some people don't have the activities of the limbs that are moving slow on your body. Right? Some people don't have the ability to feel pain. Right? That's right. Some people have no feeling. I'd rather have feeling than no feeling at all. Right? People that have no feeling don't know when they're cut. They don't know when they're bleeding. They don't know when they've been bruised. But when you can feel it and you can say, ouch, That lets you know your brain is working like it's supposed to. Your brain should be connected to every part of your body. The Lord help you today that your brain is disconnected from a part of your body. Huh? The Lord help you that day when you are when something is going on in your body and you can't feel it. The Lord help you. But right now he's being merciful to you because he lets you feel every pain in your body. He lets you know when there's something wrong in every area of your body. That's grace and that's mercy, isn't it? That's the truth. That's the truth. That woman showed the Lord that she loved him. I think we have to get that attitude. I think the Lord will bless us real good if we just change our thought process. Whenever we come in his presence, whenever we engage in any activity, we just need to show the Lord, Jesus, I love you for blessing me to be able to do this. Huh? May seem like it's insignificant to others, but I love you, Jesus. I love you and I appreciate that you have blessed me with this ability, the mind to be able to do this and do that. Why? Because I know others that have no mind. I know others that don't even consider you in all that they're doing. The Lord blesses them to wake up in the morning. They don't even consider coming to church. Huh? Lord gives them the activities of their limbs. They don't even consider singing no song of praise. They don't consider opening up their Bible. They don't consider standing up saying, I thank you, Jesus. Lord gave them the same abilities that he gave you. But you have a mind. You're different from them, right? That's right. You're different from them because you have a mind and want to praise Jesus. So you ought to love the Lord that he gave you that ability, right? Come on. Give me Isaiah chapter number 55, verse number 6 and 7.
55, seek ye the Lord
while he may be found. Call. That's a beautiful thing. This is what that uninvited guest did. She realized she didn't have an invitation, but she came on in there anyway. Why? Because she realized that there may come a time where she was going to need Jesus, and Jesus might not be there. Huh? I'd rather go uninvited. Huh? Huh? And sit back. I'd rather go uninvited than sit on the outside talking about nobody invited me to come in with a pity party. Huh? It's finding all kind of excuses as to why you can't get what you're looking for. Jesus said he is here for you to seek him. Huh? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Who called on him? You. Why? Because you're the one that recognized you need him, right? That's the truth. That woman recognized she needed Jesus. Huh? She recognized she needed Jesus. Imagine all the other people that stood on the outside and she walked past them to get to Jesus. Imagine all the people that were sitting on the inside invited, but they did not come to Jesus. Jesus noted one person that whose house that he was in that did not treat Jesus the way that she did. It's amazing how the one that did the inviting did not treat him the way that was uninvited. That's why I said I'd rather be the uninvited guest, because at least the uninvited guest showed Jesus that she loved him, right? And at the end of the day, that was noteworthy. Why? Because that, out of all the people in the room, Jesus said, look at this woman. Huh? That's what you want from Jesus. You want him to recognize you. No matter who's in this service, you want Jesus to see you, right? Huh? I don't care about who's here today. I want the Lord to see me. I want the Lord to know that I love him, right? Huh? That's the truth. You be busy looking around seeing what this one is doing and that one is doing. You're like Simon. Huh? You're like Simon. But you need to be like that woman whose name was not even mentioned. Huh? In this passage, you don't even know the woman's name. Huh? You know what she did. You know what Jesus said to her, but you don't even know her name. So that lets you know your name is unimportant. It means nothing. You mean nothing. The Lord said, I can use rocks to praise me. You think you're getting extra credit because you come in here and sing a song? The Lord said, I can use rocks to cry out to me. Don't you realize the Lord formed you on what you walk on all day long? You're nothing more than dirt. The only difference between you and the dirt that you walk on, the Lord gave you breath. He formed you. He left what you're walking on unformed. But yet the Lord said, I can raise that up and praise me, right? That's the truth. The Lord said, I can raise that up and praise me. That's why you need to let the Lord know, I appreciate what you've done for me, Jesus. I don't look at this as though the Lord is doing something that he can't do with somebody else. He can have somebody else do what I do, but I appreciate him choosing me. I appreciate the position that I'm in. And realize if I had to walk around without valuing this, just like the Lord put me up here, put me right back there. Huh? That's the truth, saints, and I don't want the Lord to do that. I don't want the Lord to do that. I want him to keep me right where I'm at and keep me moving forward. I want to do what this verse tells me to do. Seek ye the Lord what? While he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is what? Huh? Let the wicked do what? Isn't that what that woman did? Remember, her sins were many. But she didn't come in the door trying to find another way to sin. Huh? That's the truth. That's the truth. You can't come into the church to find another way to sin. Huh? You can't do that. You cannot do that. You're not doing it the right way. You need to come in and leave sin where it belongs. Sin belongs on the outside of who you are. Don't let it come on in here with you. Don't do that. Don't do that. Ask the Lord when you come in here with it. Lord, forgive me for it. Lord, take that thing away from me, right? That's what David said. Take it away. You find anything in me that doesn't belong, take it away. Give me a clean heart, right? Take that thing away from me, Jesus. Remove that thing that's not pleasing in your sight. Huh? That's the truth. Remove that thing that's not pleasing in your sight. Every wrong attitude, every wrong way, every wrong thought, every wrong behavior, any wrong thing that I'm saying out my mouth. Lord, take that stuff away from me. Show me what it is, Lord, and take it away from me. Huh? That's the truth. Give me the mind to recognize when I'm doing something outside of your will. And give me the mind, Lord, to see it and to say, I don't want to do it no more. That's the truth. You got to have that kind of attitude. You can't have an impossible attitude. Lord, this is too much for me. Lord, I can't get past this thing. You don't want that kind of attitude. Not when the Lord is the only one that can cure you. He's the only one that can cure you, saints. There is no cure outside of Jesus. There's nothing that can heal outside of Jesus. That's why people continue in sin. Because they don't realize that there's a way out of it. You don't have to stay that way. Not when the Lord has got the ability to do what? Forgive you from it and remove sin from you. I said, come now unto me. Oh, what does it say? Come now, let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet. That means he can change you. That means your sin is not so bad that the Lord can't change you. But you've got to do your part. You've got to come to Jesus. And when you come, the Lord said you got to come with the right attitude. What kind of attitude? Let the wicked forsake his ways, right? And the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, right? And the Lord will have mercy on him. Our God will do what? Abundantly pardon. That's a beautiful thought, isn't it? Come on, somebody get Micah. Chapter number 7. 18 through 19. Who is a God? That devil you've been serving all your life, he's not like Jesus. That devil didn't try to stop you from sinning. He kept putting sin in front of you. And he knew what it was doing to you. That devil knew sin was messing you up. But he kept on putting it right in front of you. Why? Because his goal is to kill, steal, and destroy you. That devil don't care nothing about you. That devil knew every relationship you got in, and it wasn't right, it was going to break your heart. But that devil kept you right on in it, knowing it was going to break your heart. And then after that fellow, that woman broke your heart, that devil brought another one right up behind him, making you think it was going to be different. But you were doing it outside of Jesus. So it cannot be different. Huh? That's what you call variance. Sin has many variants, but it's still sin. Huh? Come on, it's still sin. See, the world is trying to confuse you concerning COVID and all of these many different diseases. Yes, there are many variations of all kinds of sicknesses, but there's still only one cure. Jesus is the healer, right? Jesus is the healer. Huh? Sin comes in many ways. Huh? There are many ways to sin. There are many ways to sin. There are many ways for you to do wrong. Huh? That's the truth. That's how that devil had that stuff all embedded in people's minds. The sex. Sex is only one act. That's all you're doing is one act. But that devil fooled your mind saying, oh, there's many positions that you can be in. And you like a demon be trying all the positions.
thinking it's going to give you different results. The results are still the same. See, it's your mind that's been fooled. And then you get upset and frustrated when stuff don't turn out the way you expected it to turn out. But if you kept it embedded in your mind, you didn't let that devil teach you something that Jesus already taught you in the very beginning.
This is true. I'm only trying to help you to understand. Trying to help you understand chicken is still chicken. No matter how many ways you cook it, it's still chicken. And you throw a spice on it, you say, well, this tastes different. No, you taste the spice. But you put some salt and pepper on there, it's still going to taste the same way. It's still chicken, whether it's barbecued, honey, mustard, whatever you want to call it, jerk. It's still chicken, right? That's the truth. Does that make sense? Yes. Sin tries to present itself like that. It's like sin tries to make you think it's an endless smorgasbord, but it all leads to death. The wage of it still leads to what? That's true. Now, that's all I got to have it in my mind. No matter how big the table seems, no matter how delicious all the meal may appear, I have to remember no matter what, how many bites I take, it's still going to bring me death. The wage of it. The wage of it. The devil ain't telling you that, but I'm telling you. The wage of it is death. You can laugh. You see at a big old table, some people are laughing. Some people are joking. Some people are moping. Some people are complaining. Some people are sitting there pouting, but they still at the same table. Still eating the same meal. And don't even realize it's still going to bring you death. The wage of it is what? Death, right? That's all I need to get. That's all I need to know. See, the God that I'm serving has taught me this. Satan don't teach you that. Satan don't present sin that way. He makes it seem like you can get away with it. He makes it seem like it's going to end up a different kind of way. He makes you think you can have pleasure and joy in doing it. But at the end of the day, when the Lord calls and it's time for you to give an answer, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Hell and death were cast into the what? Now that lets you know, do you want to die? That's the only thing you need to be asking yourself. Every time sin tries to present itself to you, do you want to die? Because you doing that is going to kill you. Maybe not today, but it's going to catch up with you. The wage of it. The wage of it is what? That's the truth. Read a little bit more of that, brother. Yes, that's who Jesus is. Jesus is a God that does what to the iniquity? He pardons it. Satan doesn't pardon it. You don't get no scripture in your book that Satan said, where the scripture says the devil pardons sin. No, he does not do that. He doesn't have the authority to do that. Even sinners out of their own mouth says, none can forgive sin but God. Yet out of Jesus' mouth, he said, your sins are forgiven you. Now let's put two and two together. If no one can forgive sin but God, why would Jesus say, your sin are forgiven you? That lets me know Jesus is God. He didn't become God. He always been God. He said, whether it's easier for me to forgive sin or tell this person to get up and walk, you be the judge. But that you might know I've got the same power on earth that I got in heaven, rise up and walk, right? You mean Jesus is a healer and he's a deliverer? That let me know, saints, I don't care what your sins are. He's a deliverer and he's a healer, right? And that let me know I just need to come on to Jesus. I need to stop delaying. And I need to just come on to Jesus. I need to stop trying to figure out how I'm going to deal with this stuff. And just do what the woman did. Just come because you know he's there. Why did she come in Simon's house? Because she knew Jesus was there. Simon wasn't the only house on the block. But the difference between Simon's house and everybody else's house, Jesus was there, right? That's the truth.
That's
right. Well, I'm trying to tell you, saints, we're different than every other church you see. Why? Because I know Jesus is here.
You say, well, it's got a church. That church is all over the city. Yeah, but I only know about this one.
Right.
I know Jesus is here.
Yeah.
Why? How do you know he's here? Because I feel him.
Right.
I feel him and I call on him.
Yeah.
And when I call him, he answers me.
Yeah.
Huh? He answers me. He doesn't turn a deaf ear to Stephen when Stephen calls on his name. When I call him, he lets me know he hears me. Why? Because he quickens my mortal body. That's my confirmation that Jesus hears me, right? He doesn't let me feel comfortable when I do wrong. Huh? Yeah, Jesus don't let me feel comfortable when I do wrong. Why? Because I'm his child. Whom he loves, he chastises. He don't let me get away with a little bit of wrong. Jesus exposes it all. Why? Because I'm his child. And he wants me to know one sin is one too much. You need it all forgiven. Huh? Come on, saints. One sin is one too much. You need all of your sins forgiven. That's why he gives us the blood. Huh? Why, the blood covers all of sin. One writer said it hides a multitude of sin. Huh? Just what I'm trying to tell you. Get in Jesus and get up under the blood, right? Get in Jesus and get up under the blood. Why? Because that blood will do what? It'll cover all of your sin. Every mistake you make, Jesus' blood will cover it. Every shortcoming. Every time you miss telling him thank you. Every time you miss saying hallelujah. Huh? Every time your eye got crooked. Every time your feet went the other wrong direction. If you just stay up under the blood will correct you. The blood will correct you. It'll get you straight, right? All because you where you supposed to be at. Huh? So what does Micah 7:18 say? What does it say? He said, who is a God like unto thee? And can't you say that? Who is a God like Jesus? I don't know no other God like Jesus. I don't know no other God like Jesus. Might have been serving that other God for many years. That other God, the scripture says, that blinds this world. Huh? That other God that tries to hide the gospel from you. Huh? That other God that says, I'll be like the Most High God. Huh? But I'm trying to tell you, he is no God. He is no God worth serving. Why? Because all he is a liar. Scripture called him a murderer, a deceiver. Huh? He does not abide in the truth. You want truth, you got to follow after Jesus. Why? Because he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life, right? That's the truth. You got to follow after Jesus. So I can understand Micah when he makes that statement. Who is like unto our God? Huh? Come on, saints, who is like unto our God? He's a God that just don't pardon. He's a God that heals you. Huh? He's a God that answers you when you cry out to him. Huh? Maybe in the midnight hour when ain't nobody else around you. He's a God that will wipe every tear from your eye. Huh? He's a God when you have no strength. He gives you strength. When you got it in your mind, I just can't make it. I ain't got the strength to do no more. When I call on Jesus, he gives me strength out of nowhere. How when I got that mind and I don't feel like doing it no more. Jesus, I'm just tired. I can't take it no more. Jesus sees the soul in me still wants to live. Even though the flesh is weak, the soul wants to live. Out of nowhere, he gives me strength. He gives me a mind to say, keep going, right? Who is like a God unto our God? No matter how many mistakes I've made, all down through my insignificant life, yet he still keeps showing me grace and mercy. I failed him over and over and over again, yet he still puts his hands out towards me. He still loves me enough to reach out to me, right? Who is a God like us unto our God? Huh? Scripture says he's strength for the weak. Huh? He allows those that are feeble need to stand up. Huh? He gives you strength to stand up. When life makes your head hang low, he tells you, lift up your head. Huh? Lift up your head. on ye gates, right? And be ye lifted up, ye everlasting door. Why? Because the King of glory, who is it? It's Jesus, right? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle, right? Huh? There's no battle Jesus loses. He wins every time, right? Huh? He don't lose no battles. He wins every time. We lose, but Jesus wins every time. Huh? You had that Sunday school lesson talking about a refuge. Huh? See, we were had it in our minds a refuge was just one place. But I thank the Lord I got the name of Jesus. This refuge follows me. Huh? This refuge follows me. Huh? Everywhere I go. Huh? Everywhere I go, the refuge is right there. It does not leave me nor forsake me, right? I ain't got to be in this building not to find my refuge. My refuge is with me everywhere I go. My refuge is with me on my job. My refuge is with me at the doctor's office. My refuge is with me at the grocery store. Everywhere I go, my refuge is right there. What refuge? My hiding place. Huh? My place of protection. Huh? My place of security, right? It's right there with me, right? Huh? So Mike, I ask you a question. Who is likened to our God? I'm trying to tell you, you're not going to find nobody like Jesus. He never will be duplicated. Huh? He's genuine. Huh? He's one of a kind. Huh? One writer said he's the only wise God. Meaning there is no one beside him, right? He is the only. Jesus is the only one that can say something like that. I'm the only wise God. There's none beside me. Huh? That's the truth. You're not going to find nobody like Jesus. That's what Micah's trying to get us to understand is who is like unto our God. Tell me about this God, Micah. What does he do? He pardoneth iniquity. In other words, you don't have to stay the same way you are. All you got to do is come to Jesus. See, the world is still stuck because they have no hope. They think they got to accommodate sin. You ain't got to accommodate sin. You can be free from that thing. You can say to sin no more. Huh? Do you realize that? That's the truth, sister. You weren't wrong telling that homosexual that thing. That homosexual is living life outside of Jesus. Outside of Jesus, there is no hope. Huh? Outside of Jesus, yes, your life is a mistake. But when you get in Jesus, he corrects all of the errors. Huh? He corrects all of the errors. He fixes everything, right? He fixes everything. He leaves nothing broken. He fixes everything. He knows how to mend broken hearts. He knows how to bring that thing back together again. You just move yourself out the way. That's why he tells you to come, right? Come to him, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. Who is likened to our God? Pardoneth iniquity. He passeth by the what?
The transgression of the remnant of his
house. Yes, he does. Uh-huh. He retaineth. Yes. Yes.
Of the remnant of his
house. Where were you at? Verse 18, right? Passeth by the transgression of the remnant of... That's who you are. You and I are the remnant of his heritage. Huh? Y'all realize there were so many other people besides you, but you chose to hang on. You chose just to stick right with it. And I'm trying to tell you, the Lord every now and then will come by and check on you. Come by and check on you to give you a little bit more strength. So long as you do your part. What is your part? You got to hold on. You can't let go of Jesus. You got to hold on no matter what. You got to have it fixed in your mind. Jesus, I want this. Even if it costs my life, I want this. Mother, father, sister, brother, how's the land? Don't you forsake Jesus for none of it. Why? Because if you do, the Lord call you, he said you're not fit to be his disciple. You don't want the Lord to look at you and call you, you're not fit. I want the Lord to know, I want to be here. I belong here, Lord Jesus. I am the one you showed mercy to. And I appreciate the mercy that you have bestowed upon me. So that he passeth by. Huh? Keep going.
By the transgression.
Yes.
He
retained it. Yes. Yes.
Because he delighted.
Yeah. The Lord loves to see people appreciate his mercy. Y'all, can you now? You say, Elder Scudder, why did you pick this verse here in Micah? Because I'm trying to get you to understand what was going on in Jesus' mind. Why that woman was displaying all of this love to him. Huh? See, she didn't even realize she was talking to the one that Micah was describing in 7 and 18. This is the God that woman's feet. That woman, she was washing the feet with the tears. This is that God. How do you know? Because he pardoned her iniquity. He looked past all of her transgression. Huh? He retained his anger. Huh? Angry at Simon. Yes, he was angry at that fellow. Why? Because the Lord's feet deserved to be washed. When he walked through those doors, anybody's feet deserve to be washed. Jesus' feet, it deserved to be washed. But he looked past that ignorance. Huh? Yes, he did. He looked past that ignorance. Why? Because he knew one uninvited guest was going to give him what he deserved, right? Was going to give him what he deserved. And you wonder, why doesn't the Lord cut off the earth? Why doesn't the Lord cut off humanity? Because he sees a remnant. He sees a remnant still in the earth that appreciates his mercy. And the scripture says he delighteth in that, right? While the Lord is busy getting angry at the wicked, he also gets happy over something. Happy over what? Those that he shows mercy to, right? He delighted. Huh? What does it say there? Because he delighted in his mercy. Next verse. He will turn again. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. That's what happens when you go down in the water in the blood of Jesus. What does he do? He casts your sin way down in the deep of the sea. Huh? As that water's going down in the drain, so goes your sin. Huh? Sin into the ocean. Huh? And that one writer, one side saying the sea of forgetfulness. Huh? That's the truth. That's what you want. That devil don't want you to get it, but you got to want it no matter what. That's the truth. That, well, I remember when Mother Bess went down in that water. We were in that hole. In the ground, all that dust coming down. As the people walked, the floor was coming apart. You had pieces of wood chip coming on down. I said, "Ooh, mother." She said, "Elder Scudder, no. She said, "Go on with it. Go on with the service." Why? Because she wasn't concerned about no wood chips. Huh? She wasn't concerned about no dust. She needed the name of Jesus. Huh? Now you have to ask yourself, how bad did you want it? Huh? The water may be cold, but how bad do you want it? That's true. Anybody making you do it? How bad do you want it? You don't want to be baptized? Get up out the water. You don't want the Holy Ghost? Get up off your knees. Go back home, right? This is for those that do what? Want it. Huh? You come to church because you want to come. You don't want to come? Don't come. Huh? So many others don't answer the phone. Huh? As that other brother that was in here, how do you know he didn't want to come? Because he stopped answering the phone. Huh? That was an easy choice. Huh? One of these days, when we keep calling, maybe you don't hear. He said, one of these days they'll get the message. We got the message loud and clear. You didn't want to come no more. Now, who will he have to answer to for that? See, I don't take it personal. Say, when you say, I still say, how you doing? I don't take it personal because it's not me you rejected. It's the Lord you rejected. I didn't save you. You didn't go down in my name. I didn't say I baptized you in water in the name of Stephen Scudder. You ain't got my name on you. That's what Paul asked him, whose name were you baptized in? You don't belong to me. You belong to Jesus. He is the one that calls you to be everything that you are. Without the Lord, you can't do nothing. You'll never be anything without Jesus. Come on, let me read a little bit more. Look and say, Satan wants to make the sinner feel or think like life without sin is impossible. Something that is impossible can't be done. That's what the devil wants you to think. He thinks that you can't live without sinning. If you want to stop sinning, you just can't. See, that's the attitude people got in their mind. When something feels impossible, they want to stop it, but they just what? They just can't. And that's nobody but the devil making them think that. You might say it's impossible. If it's impossible in your mind, it cannot happen. That's why you got to be careful when you get down there and call on Jesus. Because that devil will make you think it's impossible for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You'll be looking around wondering, what is all of this? They seem like they playing. They seem like I can do that myself. So you be in your mind, it ain't going to happen. It ain't real. It's just a show. It's just a gimmick. But at the end of the day, when you die, you're going to find out it was very real. You're going to find out this was very real. Huh? Why? Because you're not going to see me there. Huh? You won't see me there. Because I believe Jesus is real. That's the truth. That's why I don't need nobody to tell me he's real. I know he's real for myself. Acts chapter number 3 and 16. It says, in his name, through faith in his name, have made this man what? Whom you see and do what? Know. Yea, the faith which is by him, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of who? That's right. Look at Romans chapter number 8, 2 through 3. What does it say?
For the spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And may be free from the law of
sin and death. Yep.
Verse 3, for what the law
could not. That's when you talking to folk and they in their sin and they don't think it's another way. This is that verse that's talking to them. In their mind, they cannot. For what the law cannot do, why can't they stop doing it? Because they weak. Oh, and ain't no pill going to give you the strength to stop sinning. They got pills for everything. They got pills. They got medication for everything. See, you say, well, this guy ain't got no pill. They got pills for everything. But one pill they will never be able to create is a pill to stop you from sinning. He said, all the medicine, it put me to sleep. You sinning all while you sleep. Huh? Ain't no cure for it. There's no medicine that's going to stop you from sinning. Jesus is the only cure for sin. Only one that can stop you from sinning or bring sin to a stop is Jesus. That's the devil. That's why the devil wants you to pay attention to all other stuff. Because he knows you never going to stop sinning. And he wanted to get in your mind that it's what? Impossible. It can't happen. There's no hope. You have to see, you see what folks say, come on, come to church with me. You see what they say in their mind. Why am I going to go to church? Them folks just as mean and evil and devilish as I am. See, that devil done put that in your mind. Because making you think that all churches are the same. Huh? There is a place in the earth called the truth. And the Lord said, upon that rock, I will build my church, right? That's the truth. That's the truth, saint. That's the truth. Come on. Those weak to the flesh. In other words, God coming in the flesh in the likeness of sinful flesh. For sin, what did he do? He condemned sin in the flesh. That's why the writer said, we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death. That he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Just like the children of partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise took part of the same. Why? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. Who? That is the devil. All of our lifetimes we were subject unto what? Bondage. He says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. And don't go back into that yoke of bondage, right? Sin is a bondage. But Jesus will come to free you from that.
Yes, he did.
What is sin? Look at the bottom. Sin is like unto a virus. This is why we got to be so careful about what we talk about when we talk about this coronavirus. Because you don't realize people will look at that coronavirus and look like it's impossible. And they will associate that virus with sin. And they will think that they can just live with it. Huh? See, what is this world training your mind? How is this world messing your mind up? You can't cure it, but you can live with it. How can I live with it? Put a mask on your face, get the vaccines, get the boosters, stay social distance. You can live with it. Oh, no, you cannot. See, that message may get by with coronavirus, but it will not get by with sin. You cannot live with sin. Why? Because sin's wage is nothing but death. Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
See, that word, that devil's trying to brainwash people's minds to make them think that sin is like a virus. Huh? But let's see what viruses do. Let's see. Let's pull the covers off of the truth of a virus. Let's read what it says. Isn't that the truth? Can you learn? That's what sin do, doesn't it? Sin don't stay the same. It mutates. Huh? That devil grow right along with you. If you was hating as a youth, hate will grow right along with you. Say, I ain't had no friends in school. I hated everybody. Then when you get at your job, you're still the same way you was on the playground. Then you get old, you in a nursing home doing the exact same thing. Sin did what? It mutated. What does sin do? Sin seeks to adapt to its what? Surroundings.
Move from host to.
This is why you got to be careful and stay away from them folk. Yes, you hang around sinners, guess what you're going to start doing? Huh? Yes. You never heard that saying? You say you lie down with a dog with fleas, what's going to happen to you? Huh? Is it true? You don't even see them fleas jumping off of you. Fleas are like little pieces of pepper.
Yeah.
You can't see it. You know it's there, though. You know it's there. It leaves its mark. Huh? You get to biting and moving. What in the world is going on? You got fleas. You got fleas and somebody coming in with a specialist realize that they all over the place. They say your whole house is infected. Just get rid of the dog. The dog ain't the problem. The dog ain't the problem. The dog bought the problem, but now the problem is bigger than your dog. poor Fido. You put him out your house, but you still got Fido's problem in your house, right? That's the truth. That's true. That's how sin does. It mutates. That's what they said about baby's kids. They we don't die. We multiply. That's what sin do. That's what Roddy said. Don't take a whole lot of it. All it takes is a little bit. It takes a little bit to mess you up, won't it? Keep going a little bit further.
Mutations can cause viruses to better evade our
immune system. That means our immune system is our defense system. That's why I tell you, you got to be careful about who you hang around. You say, I got Jesus, but I'm trying to tell you, you need to be careful of who you hang around. Every time you hang around a sinner, what do you think sin is doing? It's studying you out. It's studying you out to figure out, how can I get in there? Huh? It can't do that if you ain't hanging around that devil. But the more you come around that devil say, it's something there. I just can't jump on you. Why can't I just jump on you? And you be saying, well, I represent Jesus. I got Jesus. And that devil say, you do? Let me find the weak spot. Huh? Let me test you till I find the what? I will even know when you find the weak spot. He going to touch you. And you're going to move. The devil say, I found that weak spot. And you be sitting there wondering, why does this same thing keep happening to me? Fool, the devil found your weak spot. And you say, you shouldn't call me no fool. Yeah, I'm going to call you a fool. The fool has said in his heart that there is no, you out there searching for what's not out there. God, Jesus is not out there. He's in his church. He told you to come out from.
Yes, he did.
Huh? He didn't say, see how far you can get away with him. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, right? That's the Lord's teaching, isn't it? It's the Lord's teaching. Read a little bit more. So I can hang around. I'm at one of these days. I'm going to hang around sinners too much. And all of the treatment systems are not going to work. Y'all understand this? When you come in here for prayer, that's your treatment system. Fasting is your treatment system. Studying the word is your treatment system. But you're going to hang around that devil long enough that your treatment system is not going to work. I did not say it. That's how viruses do, right? That's how sin operates. It just wants to get in you and infect you in such a way that you're going to call Jesus and Jesus' name is not going to work.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Say, what you talking about, his name is not going to work. Why? Because you approached it with unbelief. Huh? Didn't I tell you doubt is poison to faith? It don't help your faith. It's a poison to it, right? And all sin does is create doubt. You'll start questioning things that you used to didn't question. Huh? You start considering things that you used to didn't consider. You start participating in things, laughing about things, finding pleasure in things that used to disgust you. Huh? That's the truth. That's true. As I say, as saints, you got to be careful when sinners find it comfortable to be around you. Not just be around you, but start talking about stuff that they feel free to talk about. Why? Because they're not feeling the conviction. Huh? One thing about saints, saints convict sinners without saints even having to open up their mouths. I've been on my job long enough, my coworkers know I don't cuss. And it's got to the point that I never told them, please don't say those words around me. When they let it slip out, they automatically say, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't condemn you, but my life condemned it. See, you got to be so full of Jesus that your life condemns that sinner. But when that don't happen, oh, you in trouble. You are in trouble. When they feel comfortable cussing, when they feel comfortable, and let me tell you a little something. Let me show you something that I was looking at. How you think that look? They don't feel no Jesus. Now, see, the off person is really you. Because if they don't feel no Jesus, how do you feel? Huh? That's not, something's not adding up. If they can't feel him, how can you feel him? Say, I got the Holy Ghost, but they don't feel no Jesus. So how do you feel Jesus? Something else done got a hold of you. Called a spirit of what? Deception. Huh? Satan fools you. He makes you think you're something when you're not. Huh? He makes you think you're prepared to go someplace that you're not prepared to go. Huh? That devil make you think you'd be standing in the line to get on the plane. Bags packing, got a ticket on your person. You be reaching. I know I had my ticket. Did they say, sir, ma'am, you can't get on this plane without no ticket. You think I'm going to pack all my bags and come all the way up here without my ticket? I don't know, sir. Where's the ticket? I can't find it. Well, you can't get on the plane. Huh? You mean to tell me I wasted all of my time to come up here? And ain't nothing you can do for me? Yeah, if you got a ticket, you can get on. But you ain't got no ticket, you cannot go. Huh? Huh? But what was the person doing? Walking in the line with the people with the tickets. Looking like the people with the ticket. Huh? In their mind, they had the ticket. But when it came time to do what? Present it. Huh? This is what the scripture is talking about when we say we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. When it comes time to present who you really are, huh? You better hope you got Jesus inside of you. Huh? Better hope you got Jesus. You can't bank on what you used to do. The Lord's talking about where you at right now. Huh? You finished? Go ahead. Finish reading up. Finish reading up, baby.
Well, immunity can help the virus gain strength.
Yeah.
That better help it reproduce.
Uh-huh.
Better.
Yes, that's what sin does. Sin studies you out and finds a way to connect on you, to cling to you. Cling there and do what? Hide. And all while it's hiding, it's multiplying. Huh? It's starting to do what? Spread. You know, I said, people say your cancer is cured. Then they go back another 6-8 months. They find out, whoa, it spread all over now. We can't even cure it. But you just told me last 6 months ago it was cured. But what happened? The thing that they thought was gone, it was only doing what? Hiding. Huh? Did y'all know that it hides? One way was telling me that's how that death bug does. That death bug gets in the body, and every time they pump antibiotics in the one part of the body, the bug moves to the next. Huh? And then it infects that part. And then it just keeps moving all around. It's like it's playing chase. Every time it comes in, it goes away from it until the body can't function no more. And by the time they reach it, it done infected every organ of the body. This is what they're talking about when they're saying the organs are beginning to shut down. Huh? In other words, they've been trying to cure it. They've been trying to fight that bug, but that bug is saying, I'm incurable. Huh? You can't. He's like the road runner. Huh? You can't catch him. Huh? You cannot catch him. You cannot catch him. You cannot catch him. And that's the truth, saying. That's what the Lord say. One day when I call, you're going to do what? You're going to answer. And you're going to have to give an account for the things what you've done where in this body. So don't get so caught up in that stuff with the many wrong things. Focus on the one that can do what? Cure you. The one that can make you better, all right? Focus on it. Don't focus on all of your shortcomings that are wrong. Don't do that to yourself. Because if you do that, sin is going to feel in your own mind that it's what? Impossible. And you're going to start learning to do what? Accommodate it. You're going to start learning to live with it. You're going to start developing that attitude. Nobody's perfect. We all trying. We all make mistakes. You don't want to do that. Mm-mm. You don't want to do that. That's like you going around the earth saying, I just got a little bit of coronavirus. I'm okay. I just got a little bit of the virus. You go around and tell folks you got a little bit of the virus. See how many folk want to hang around you. A little bit is too much. You think my wife going to want me in the bed with her? And I'm just, what's wrong with you, babe? I just got a little bit of the virus. I can taste. I can smell, but they still said I'm infected. She's going to say, well, you need to go find another place to lay down. Right? You need to go find another place to lay down. Why? Because the little bit is still going to do what? Infect her. Huh? And that's the same way with sin. A little bit of sin is still too much. Why? Because you got a little bit. The wage is still going to happen. The wage, it didn't say the wage of a lot of sin. It said the wage of what? That's why I say one is just too much. If you know you're doing something that you should not be doing, do what the scriptures say. Let the wicked do what? Forsake his ways. Let the unrighteous man forsake his what? His thoughts. And let him do what? Come back to Jesus. Jesus will abundantly pardon. He will do what? He will forgive you. All right? Trust you got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against.